This morning we're going to have one more message on the spiritual gifts series that I've been doing. So this will be the last one. This morning we're focusing on how to use our gifts for the right reason. It's one thing to try to discover our gifts. It's one thing to use them, but the motivation of that is an important thing also. And so we want to just focus on that. And the passage we're going to read this morning is from Romans chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 1 of that. And so hear then the word of God from the Apostle Paul as he was led by the Holy Spirit to speak to the people in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in other words, in view of all that God has done for you in Jesus, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And so far then, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, I'm sure those of you who are into sports can think of a few athletes who are extremely gifted, but who've seen their careers go off the rails. Now, why is that? Why does that happen? Well, it's often because the motivation is no longer there the way it was before. It's a common pattern. They pull off a big contract, and they turn into more of a selfish player, and they no longer have the motivation to stay on the top of their game. Motivation is huge for a successful athlete. Now, motivation is also something that's very important to us on a spiritual level. Now, we've talked a lot about spiritual gifts over the last little while, how we can discover our spiritual gifts, and how God wants us to use those gifts to build up his church. So today, we want to focus on our motives. What motivates us to use our gifts, and how it's possible to approach our spiritual gifts with the wrong motivations. Now, the Apostle Paul's discussion in Romans 12 about the right motivation for using our spiritual gifts begins with a focus on our relationship with God, how it needs to flow out of our surrender to God himself. In other words, before God wants us to be used in service for him, he wants us to have a full commitment to him. As Paul says in verse 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in other words, in view of everything that God has done for us in Jesus, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, at the beginning of that verse, in Romans 12, verse 1, it uses the word therefore. And anytime you read the word therefore in the Bible, you should always ask what it's there for. The therefore in Romans 12, verse 1, is about our surrender to God in response to His amazing love and grace to us in Jesus. Now, in Romans, in the book of Romans, in the previous 11 chapters, Paul has focused on how God has dealt with the problem of sin, with the problem of our sin, and how God has redeemed us from our sin in Jesus. And because of all that God has done for us, says Paul, because of God's gift of grace and forgiveness to you in Jesus, this now is how you are to live in response to all that, says Paul. This is how you are now to put your faith into practice. This is now how you are to use your gifts for God's purposes in this world. And so when Paul talks about offering up our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, he calls us to offer up our whole being to Him. God doesn't want just a few segments of our lives. God wants us to be completely committed to Him. He's looking for believers who are totally sold out for Him in this world. There's a story about a young boy who walked into a church one day to get out of the blowing snow. He'd been trying to sell newspapers, but there weren't very many customers that day because of the weather. And that Sunday, the crowd was kind of slim, and he slipped into the back of the church to warm up. And as he sat there, he couldn't help listening to what the preacher was saying, and he felt convicted. And when the preacher was done, he asked for the offering. And as the deacons made their way to the back row, the boy did something unexpected. He stood up, and he actually stepped right into the offering plate. And with tears running down his face, he said, "Pastor, I don't have any money, but if Jesus gave up His life for me, then I'll gladly give up my life for Him." And that's what it means for us to offer ourselves to God. That's what it means for us to offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. That we offer our whole selves to Him when we know that we've got nothing else to give. Now, Paul also stresses in this passage that our commitment to God flows out of a decision to be renewed within our minds. Namely, a decision to no longer follow the patterns of this world and the world's way of living. Now, when we think about that, in essence, the world's way of doing things usually just flows out of a selfish way of living. For many people in our world, life is all about me. That's very much the pattern of our world. And I think for most of us here this morning, we might not like to admit that, but that kind of self-centered focus, it creeps into our own lives all too easily. Yes, even for those of us within the church. Even when we think about our spiritual gifts, even when we think about doing ministry within the church, that selfish focus can still creep in. We can use our gifts, and there's a danger of us putting too much of the focus on ourselves and not enough on how we are serving others out of thankfulness for what God has done for us. God doesn't want us to see the church as what the church can do for me or what the church can do to make me feel good. God wants us to focus on enriching the lives of others around us within the church, to enrich the lives of others with the gift of God's love and grace as God has shown that to us in Jesus. And so Paul is saying to the Romans and to us today, if you're serious about living your lives for Jesus, you need to focus on having your minds transformed instead of merely conforming to the values or the patterns of the world around you. I think sometimes we're so conformed to, we can be so conformed to the thinking and the practices of the world around us that sometimes there's little noticeable difference between us and Christians and those who have no connection with the Church of Jesus. Now, the word transformed that Paul talks about here, what that really means is that we experience an inner kind of change within our hearts and our lives. We get the word metamorphosis from the Greek origin of the word transformation here. And metamorphosis, that's a big word, but what that refers to is, you know, you think of a caterpillar. A caterpillar is transformed from just a kind of an ugly little creature that crawls around, and it's transformed into a beautiful butterfly. A metamorphosis into something that is amazing. And in that way, God says, we need to experience that kind of metamorphosis. A more metamorphosis in something, the kind of change that we can't bring about for ourselves. And as we present ourselves as living sacrifices to God, patterned after what Jesus has done for us to give up his life on the cross for us, as we do that, Paul says, the Holy Spirit will begin to transform us. The Holy Spirit will transform our hearts and our minds in ways that we can never do on our own. It's like the story of a man. And he was a man who sadly had a very ugly and hideous face. He was a nice man, but people were terrified of him when they looked at his kind of ugly face. And as a result, he was a very lonely man, and he wanted more than anything to marry a very pretty woman in his town. And so what he decided to do, he decided to wear a mask of a handsome face so that he could win this pretty woman's love. And he wore that mask 24/7. And he soon found himself married to this pretty woman. And after some time, his wife noticed that his handsome face was only a mask. And she asked him to remove it to reveal his true face. And because he loved her, he couldn't refuse her request. And he expected her to gasp in horror at the sight of his real face. Instead, his wife just smiled. And the man ran to a mirror, and he realized that the years of wearing that disguise had transformed his face into the handsome features of that mask. Now, when we put on the face of Jesus, when we pattern our lives after Jesus' loving example, we'll find ourselves transformed into the likeness of Jesus. As Paul says in the Bible in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We will be transformed from the world's way of selfishness into a selfless, sacrificial way of living, patterned after Jesus himself, patterned after Jesus' sacrificial service of giving up his life for us. We will then love and serve other people in response to God's amazing gift of love for us in Jesus. Now, you might think by yourself, so what does that all have to do with spiritual gifts? Well, it really has everything to do with our motivation for using our spiritual gifts. As Paul transitions this passage into a discussion about spiritual gifts, he says in verse 3, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. What Paul is saying here is that if we focus too much on ourselves, if we're thinking too much about ourselves, that can so easily be a barrier to effective service for God in this world. And that issue of self-importance was obviously a problem in the Church of Rome in that time also. And as we've looked in at some passages in the book of Corinthians over the last few weeks, we've seen how that was an issue in the church of Corinth also. People were focused too much on themselves as they were thinking about their spiritual ways. And Paul says here that selfishness can all too easily get in the way of a healthy motivation for using our spiritual gifts within Christ's church. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get tired of people who are always bragging about themselves, who are always bragging about their own abilities, and they act as if, you know, they're the only ones who have anything to offer to other people. God doesn't want that kind of attitude for us within the church. Instead, Paul here in this passage urges us to approach our spiritual gifts with a spirit of humility. You see, the spiritual gifts that God has given us are really a gift of God's grace to us. And those spiritual gifts aren't given for us to try to make ourselves look good, but those spiritual gifts are given to us as a means of building up others for God's kingdom purposes. And so we should never forget that truth. God uses us, and God has gifted us simply because he has chosen to create us and to gift us in that way. And so what Paul is saying here is that we need to avoid thinking too highly of ourselves. But at the same time, he says, don't think too little of yourselves. God has shaped you just as he wanted you to be, so that collectively we can be used to enrich the lives of others within the church, and also to enrich the lives of others around us in our community. And so instead of us thinking that we're better than someone who's wired differently than we are, Paul urges us to celebrate the differences that we find within the church. That we celebrate the diversity for how God has created us with our different gifts functioning together to build up the church as a church family. As Paul says in verse 4 through 6, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. So instead of focusing on the differences that we have within the church, Paul says that we need to focus on our dependency on other members within the church. And while we might have our unique God-given gifts, we're called to function together in community with each other because we all belong to each other. We're not just separate entities within the church. Paul says we belong together. We are glued together as a family of God. And so what that means is I might be strong in certain areas of my giftedness, but what I also need to realize that in other areas, I am weaker than others who are more gifted in those areas. And God calls me to minister to others out of my strengths. But he also wants me to be dependent on the ministry of the rest of the body in my areas of weakness. And that's the way it's supposed to be. We function together out of our strengths, and we look to build up those around us. And that awareness then should instill within us a spirit of humility. God has graciously given you and me gifts that are needed for this church to function in a healthy way. But God also wants us to rely on other members within the church, just as they rely on us in areas that they are not gifted in. And once we embrace that kind of diversity with a spirit of grace and humility, then we can start using our gifts with full diligence and commitment. Now, Paul addresses that same theme in the book of Corinthians in chapter 13. Now Corinthians 13 is the famous love chapter of the Bible. But it's interesting where that passage is placed within the Bible. It's placed between 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. And 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, they both focus on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in between those two passages, we find 1 Corinthians 13. And the reason Paul wrote that love chapter there was because the Corinthians were caught up in a spirit of selfishness, and they were focusing more on some of the showy or supernatural gifts of the Spirit, things like speaking in tongues. And they were looking down on others who didn't have some of those same spectacular gifts. And Paul then ends 1 Corinthians 12 with these words in the last verse of verse 31. And Paul says there, "And now I will show you a more excellent way." And then he jumps right into 1 Corinthians 13, where it says in verse 1 through 3, "If I speak in human and angelic tongues, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and I surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing." In other words, there's something even more important than the discovery or the use of our spiritual gifts, and that's our motivation. We're using our spiritual gifts. We can be a good elder or deacon within the church. We can be a wonderful Sunday school teacher or youth leader. We can be a great worship leader. We can be the most generous person within the church. But if we don't do these things in a spirit of humility and true love and concern for others, Paul says it's all for naught. Love is the soil in which our Christian faith grows. And love provides the essential context for the exercise of our spiritual gifts. And the love that we're talking about here is a love that flows out of God's love for us in Jesus in the first place. I came across a statistic this past week that said that 85% of the success of people in the workplace is directly related to their interpersonal relationships. It said that bad attitudes all too often hinder good relationships. And some of the most gifted people can sometimes struggle in the workplace to get along with others, and ultimately they aren't very effective in the workplace. And really that happens in all of life. That can happen within the church too. Sometimes people with the wrong attitudes, they rub people the wrong way, and they aren't used very effectively for God within the church. Instead, we need to follow Jesus' example of having a humble, sacrificial kind of service for others. As Jesus says in John 13, verse 34 and 35, "Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this will everyone know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The Apostle Paul says much the same in Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4, where he says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others." In other words, we're all in this together as we use our spiritual gifts as a body of believers. Don't get puffed up by your own importance. But at the same time, don't take yourself out of the game by thinking that you don't matter. We all need each other with our diversity of gifts because we all belong together as the body of Christ. We keep serving in a spirit of love and humility. And when we do that, God will show us where and how he can use us to do our part to build up his church so that together we can make a difference for God's purposes in this community, so that together we can point the people of this community to the gift of God's love for us in Jesus that God has already blessed us with. And so may God use us as we use our gifts for his purposes in this church and this community. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your willingness to surrender yourself to us, that you surrendered yourself completely to give up your life for us on the cross to secure our forgiveness, to secure our way of salvation in you. We pray, Lord God, that you will stir up within us that kind of willingness for us to surrender ourselves, first of all, to you, and that we do that out of gratitude for your gift of love and grace to us. We pray, Lord God, that we may be so filled with gratitude for your goodness and your love for us that we can't help but want to serve others in that same way. That we may be willing to serve others in a spirit of humility. That we may be willing to serve others in a loving and gracious way as what you have done for us. And so, Lord God, as we look at using our spiritual gifts, help us to do that joyfully. Help us to do that looking to your Holy Spirit to guide us and to empower us. We pray, Lord God, that we may never think of ourselves as being better than others, but that you will give us that humble Christ-like kind of approach where we truly care for each other, where we truly look to build each other up, remembering that we belong together as the body of Christ. Lord, we pray that you will use each one of us to do our part to build up this church for your kingdom purposes. And help us, Lord, to be diligent in using our gifts so that we together can build up the church, so that we can be used to bring the good news of Jesus into this community. Help us, Lord, to do that, not to make ourselves look good. Help us, Lord, to do that to your glory and to your honor. And so we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior.